Good morning and/or afternoon, wherever you are, everyone. And thank you for joining us for this edition of our monthly education webinar. Thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today. We at the Entrust Group strive to continuously provide our listeners with new information and content to better prepare them in becoming experts in the self-directed retirement plan investing world. We invite guest speakers and experts to our webinars with that in mind, for the purpose of educating our listeners on the benefits of self-directed retirement plans and the different investments one can take advantage of through this vehicle. I think today's guest speakers and topic is no exception. Excited to have with us today the Ruthian investment team, part of that, which is Kimberly Conti de Groot and Dan de Groot, who will talk to us about the ins and outs of HOAs and so on. I've known Kim and Dan for many years. They're valuable clients of the Entrust Group, and I'm really excited to have them as part of our webinar, and looking forward to their presentation. But before I bring on Kim and Dan, please allow me just a few minutes to kind of discuss, talk to you about the Entrust Group and our role and so on. Next slide, Dan, please. So disclaimer here, we have to start with that always, that the Entrust Group does not provide any investment advice or endorse any products. All information and materials are for educational purposes only. All parties are encouraged to consult with their attorneys, accountants, and financial advisors before entering any type of investment. A little bit about our today's agenda. We're going to start with introducing HOAs, reviewing the top HOA issues to consider, comparing the types of HOAs, what to know before inspection, analyzing new laws, and then finally, a bit of Q&A. So please go ahead and input your questions. Time allows towards the end of the presentation. We're going to go ahead and take your questions. So I'm your host today, Manzer Gaucher, the Regional Business Development Manager at the Entrust Group. I've been doing this for over the past maybe 20 years plus. I've enjoyed working with investors and professionals alike, educating them on the benefits of self-directed retirement plans. A little bit about the Entrust Group for those of you out there that are not familiar with us. We're one of the nation's oldest and largest self-directed IRA administrators. We provide account administration and record keeping for clients and investors who wish to invest in alternative in assets, such as real estate, private equity, precious metals, which is very, very popular these days, and so much more. We have highly trained staff, with most of us holding the prestigious CISP, which is a certified IRA specialist certification, which is highly regarded in our industry. We pride ourselves with our client education resources that are available through our online library and our monthly educational webinars that we do. For over 40 plus years, we have empowered our over 24,000 clients and investors to take charge of their retirement plans. So we currently have over $5 billion of assets under administration. And with our one point of contact model, business model, we provide our clients with superior customer service and faster transaction times. Okay, so now it's time for us to bring on Dan and Kim with the Ruthian investment team for their presentation. Welcome, guys. Thank you for joining us, and the mic is yours.
Thank you, Manzer.
Thank you, Manzer. So today we're going to start talking about investing in HOAs and what no one is really talking about. By now, I'm sure most investors and homeowners have heard of horror stories about buying and or living in an HOA. Geico even made a commercial on the topic. And while the commercial seems humorous, There's far too many horror stories, I'm sure we've all heard, that revolve around mismanaged HOAs, having insufficient reserves, being hit with large special assessments, or finding out the HOA is involved with a lawsuit, usually due to actions of the board of directors or its management company. As we go through this, we are not trying to scare you off or dissuade you from buying in an HOA, but rather we want to give you tools to adequately assess if a certain property has HOA-related issues that may be of concern. So today, you're going to be hearing from Kim and myself, as well as our partners, John and Amber, are joining us later on, possibly for our Q&A session.
Dan, quick note.
Yes.
Can I go ahead and share the poll results of the experience and learning goals so you can see the audience?
Sure, go ahead.
Cool. Going to share that now, just so you all can see, Dan, as far as who's invested, who's just looking, and the main goal today of really learning the different types and how to verify impact. So really excited for what you're going to present. Thank you.
Okay, there we go.
So thank you very much for the survey and the information behind it. So you want to invest in a property in an HOA. What are the hurdles? Well, until recently, if you were investing in property, you probably did your due diligence on the unit starting with inspections. Just before close and after spending $1,000 to $1,500 on inspections, you find out the HOA has issues that had you have known, you would never have spent the money on inspections and you cancel. So today, what we're proposing is a shift in how to the information at time of purchase. One of the main things to ask for at the very beginning is the HOA documentation and financial review. The next that you're going to want to ask for is is insurance. You're going to speak to your insurance company immediately within the first 24 hours, give them the address and have them run the address to ensure it is insurable and that there are no problems. Then the next you're going to do is with lending. Everybody knows this, but we have some new updated information why it's really important that you look at lending immediately. Don't delay. Make sure your lender gets the contract and has the address so that they can run a search on the address.
So we'll start off with just talking about what is an HOA or a homeowners association. It's a private nonprofit organization that governs residential communities such as subdivisions, planned communities, and condominiums. And they're charged with setting rules and collecting fees to maintain common areas and amenities. So what should you expect from an HOA? Typically, you're going to get guidelines on how to maintain property values and community standards. All HOAs are different, but the guidelines can include, these are typical ones, color of your home, the appearance of your lawn, window coverings that can be seen from the street, type of holiday decorations, when you put your garbage out, even pets, the breed of your dog, and we'll get into that a little bit more. If you can have an RV parked on your yard, or if it can be seen, types of plants. And we've also, and we're going to cover this a couple more times, some areas we see restrictions on usage, such as not allowing the unit to be rented out, requiring the property to be owner-occupied. And again, every HOA is different. So every HOA is going to have some sort of fees. Fees can vary widely. Some HOAs we've seen charge as little as $100 a year, and they're just maintaining signs and mailboxes and things like that. Others can cost upwards of $1,000 a month, and that's really based on the community and its amenities, sometimes the size of the community, and so forth. The other thing are what do these fees fund? So they typically fund the operating fund, which is your day-to-day expenses for your community. And then they fund a reserve fund, which is for long-term maintenance issues. And we'll be looking at that as we go here. So this is going to a little long here, but what are the top common problems in an HOA? One is not maintaining the value of your homes within the HOA. And that can come from not doing maintenance or repairs and things of that nature. Then there's lack of communication. As a homeowner, you need to understand the HOA structure, how decisions are made, new rules or changing of existing rules. And if communication is lax from the board or the property management company to and back to the members, that can create problems. Regular communications via meetings, newsletters, and such need to occur. And if they're not, it does lead to problems. I briefly mentioned pets. Some HOAs can have restrictions on the size of your pets, typically a dog in that case, breeds, and so forth. They can also restrict, have rules about barking, excessive barking. So if your dog is one to bark at the squirrels all day, don't be surprised if you receive a fine. Then also mentioned earlier, rentals. One of the top problems surrounds rentals. If you have restrictions in your CC&Rs or your rules and procedures, that can create problems, whether it be long-term rentals or short-term rentals, such as an Airbnb or a VRBO. Vehicles and parking is another one that we see a lot of. Sometimes they'll have a restriction that says your vehicles must be in the garage, can't be in the driveway. Then there'll be restrictions on your RVs or and where you can park them and things of that nature. And then mortgage approval, which we'll cover a little bit more. When you talk to your lender and they give you, say, you can buy XYZ amount of approval, then when if it's an HOA, you have to take and consider the fees, because that will affect your debt to income ratio. And your lender is going to be looking at that as far as does it fit within what they've approved for you.
Thanks, Dan. Now we're going to take a look at some types of HOAs that we've come across and examples. So let's start looking at HOAs and how they differ in their management and effectiveness, as well as the communities and the homes themselves. Our first example is a self-managed HOA. This is typical for HOAs that are up to maybe 9 units. Below, this is an example of a 6 unit. And that's not a bad situation. It was actually an opportunity whereby the buyer was able to get a price reduction of almost 15%. Because the inspections showed that there was exterior pest damage that was deferred maintenance on the exterior of all 6 units. The management did not have the money or the reserves to be able to facilitate this. As a result, the owner was able to negotiate with the HOA directly for paying upfront fees at a discounted rate. For 2 years, and thereby allowing the repairs to be done. But it is a very well self-managed facility, and this is how you can work with these opportunities. Our next example is with regards to manage with a great board of directors and a great experienced property management company. They also have members that are fully engaged, fully funded, great finances. Everybody's working well together, but a new law comes into play that is not a part of their reserves, and it creates a $20,000 assessment to each owner. We'll get into that a little bit later. Here's another example. It's managed by a board of directors that are non-existent and a property management company that's not engaged. However, it again was an opportunity because by luck, the grounds, the buildings, everything are in compliance and very well maintained. The rents are high. So this one worked out very well. Why it's also important to see not only the documentation, but to walk around the complex. Another example, this is a unit complex of 198 units. It's managed by a board of directors that are present but not familiar with laws, and a property management company that is not current on laws, rules, and regulations. The deferred maintenance at the property is a problem. However, again, it's an opportunity to get in at a lower price versus the complexes that are around it, which are much higher, but not as great of a location as this complex is. A more active board that has some real estate experience, accounting experience, will help this along getting it up to snuff. This example is managed by a board of directors and property management company, all in great standing, but the members are not engaged. The property is as well maintained as can be. However, they need a quorum and majority votes in order to pass things. This particular complex may be difficult to rent at times because of parking. There's a lack of parking in the area, and because they're not able to enforce parking, they have people from other areas coming to park. Also, trash is a problem here, which has created an additional cost burden for all the members. These are things to be aware of. So you want to invest in an HOA? What steps should you take? In addition to the ones that we have already stated, it's important to get in touch with and speak to the property management company for the HOA. Ask who the property manager is, have a live conversation with them, and a good feeling of how involved they are and their feedback with regards to the property that you're looking at. Another is speaking to the HOA president or any of the board members. Having a live conversation with them is really important to ascertain their skill level and their involvement.
Okay, so we're going to look at some of the things you want to review when you're in the process of trying to buy out in an HOA. So the first thing is you would like to see the annual disclosure package. Now in California, this is a law that they have to send this out. All owners receive the annual disclosure package typically in late November, early December. Other states, the information we're going to cover here is all available. They may not have it codified like California does, but it's available. In California, here's everything that would come in your disclosure package. And I've also included, you know, the civil codes that require them to do this. And we'll go through most some of this stuff. This is a typical cover page on your policy statement, your annual policy that you would get if you're here in California. And so what do you need to also look at and request? You want the CC&Rs. That stands for covenants, conditions, and restrictions. You also want all the approved policies, procedures, and bylaws. Now, in your annual disclosure package, they only send typically what is required to be sent. But most HOAs have additional procedures and policies. So you would like to see what those are. They can have things like decorum and parking and easements and things of that nature that could be part of their documents. You want to look at the last 12 months worth of board and committee meeting minutes. part of that is you want to see how the board's operating. So if you look at like the how the board's voting, are they all in sync, or are they, you know, are all the votes 3-2, 4-1, 2-1, whatever the number is? It can, not necessarily always, but it can indicate dissension amongst your board members. Also, some boards have been noted to be zealous, over-controlling, onerous, and difficult to deal with. Others don't hold meetings at all, leaving decisions to the property management company or through backroom or email discussions. In California, email discussions, backroom decisions are not legal. They're illegal. Ask if the HOA is currently or in the past 5 years have been involved in any lawsuits. Find out what the lawsuit was over and if the HOA is or had to make a payout or settlements. You want to look at their reserve study. This is part of their financial package. HOA reserves are portions of the monthly dues that are held back in separate accounts for current or future maintenance or repairs. This can be anything from roofs, paving, lighting, shared facilities like pools, saunas, meeting rooms. The reserve studies are only required to consider ongoing maintenance and anticipated repairs that would occur on a 30-year basis or less. You want to look at how well-funded the reserve accounts are. Usually 70% or more is considered good. Less than 70% funded is likely to lead to future special assessments or large increases in your monthly dues. So here's one example of a sheet from your reserve study. We'll look up here at the top. It says balcony walls and handrails. They project needing to replace them in 2036, so you have 12 years of life left. And this is how much they're projecting the cost to be, and then how much they have in the fund right now. I also mentioned that if you some things are not funded. Down here towards the bottom, you have walks and like sidewalks. Those things have a lifetime of more than 30 years, but so you don't have to fund them. But if something were to happen where you need to make major repairs, and I'll give you an example, let's say you have a big tree that's pushing a sidewalk up, that wouldn't have been something that they had money set aside for. So that could potentially lead to additional costs. This particular reserve study only is 53%. So not great, not bad, but not great. Here is sometimes you'll just see a reserve summary. The numbers here are not especially important other than the one down there in the circle. They're really poorly funded at only 24%. So part of your financial package is you'll get a balance sheet, okay? Balance sheets show bank account balances, your accounts payable, accounts receivable, and things of that nature. And we have a couple of examples here. The one on the right is fairly simplistic, small time. But the thing there is no two balance sheets are the same. The one on the right is in columns. The one on the left is in rows. The other thing, if you look down here at the reserves, you see that they have five different reserve categories. And in this case, this is just they cut up their reserve based on the street that the property is on. You also want to look at you want to look at your insurance declarations. In California, what insurance you have to have is codified, but also I think it's pretty same across the country. You need your liability insurance, you need your property, or sometimes called fire and hazard insurance, and your you need directors and officers, also commonly referred to as D&O insurance. You want to make sure that they have all of their insurances and that they're up to date.
Our last area of concern is with regards to your lender. So most of us who have invested were very versed in the owner-occupied versus non owner-occupied ratios. Those are still important, especially when it comes to student-centric areas near campuses. They're going to mainly be non-owner occupied, and thus the property becomes only a cash-based transaction. But that's normal and still very profitable. However, now we have, as of March 18th, if any of you read the Wall Street Journal, there is a new issue that has surfaced, and where lenders and insurance companies are blacklisting HOA complexes. Now, this is not limited to townhomes, condos. It's also single family dwellings. And it's a problem. And what makes you be on that blacklist for your lender? And this is why it's imperative to get with your lender and with your insurance company right from the beginning and have that HOA documentation so they can see it. Lenders will not lend on complexes if they're not funded properly. So probably the two examples that Dan gave, most likely the one that is 24% is not going to be funded. It will be a cash only transaction. The one that's 53% may or may not be. They are looking for 70% and above in speaking with our lending referrals. So that is something really important to discover up front. The other issue is with insurance. This is not just limited to California. This is an issue across the country. Florida's had their problems, Illinois, New York, Texas, and California. So this is something that needs to be to look at in advance, because your lender is going to want to sell their loan most likely to Fannie Mae. Freddie hasn't come out and said anything, but Fannie Mae certainly has made a statement that they are looking at these indicators. If there's deferred maintenance, not enough reserves, fire hazards, and all of those things, any potentials for not in compliance with new laws, and specifically as they center around decks and stairwells, the new laws in California, as well as Florida, has some issues with that. So check out the Wall Street Journal. That's important. This is by no means is an exhaustive checklist to work through. Every purchase is different, but these are areas to start looking at. Dan is going to give an example of a case study now.
Okay, so in a recent deal that we're aware of, the prospective property that you see here in the picture was a beautifully maintained condo. And the HOA had some nice amenities. You can see in the picture there's a pool, some tennis courts. It was gated, so it had security access. It was nice. But as we started getting the documents from the HOA, they were looking at a massive shortfall in their reserves. They needed $500,000 or maybe more to pay for some long overdue roof replacement, tending of termites, taking care of dry rot, things of that nature. And that shortfall did not include getting the reserve fund up to an acceptable level. Like we said, 70% or more is typical. So the 31 owners in that complex were looking at a very sizable special assessment. First off, you're looking at $500,000. That shortfall, a little bit back of the envelope type scratching might be, $300,000 or more. So take that amount, 800,000 or whatever it needed to be, and divided by 31, and you were looking at a very sizable special assessment to be able to take care of this.
So new laws. In California, we had Berkeley in 2015, where students were on a balcony and they fell to their death, unfortunately. As a result, new laws were created. The unintended consequence of great new laws was the unfunded improvements that needed to take place. And this is throughout the state of California. As I said, Florida has some similar stuff going on with their new laws and their condo market. Their condo market is almost a cash-only basis at this point. And so here, what happened was by January 1st of 2025, all condo complexes were required to have any decks or stairwells or balconies that were above, I think it's 5 feet off the ground, needed to be inspected. They haven't stated yet that the repairs needed to be completed in a certain time. However, the inspections needed to be completed and disclosed to the members, and then budgeting taken into account, because most of this was not in anybody's reserve study. It's just come up. They didn't anticipate any issues. And the reserve studies are done, or this has to be done for condos every 9 years. So if you look, we have an example. Great. It was one of our first examples. Great board, great members, great property management company, a lot of reserves in funding. And the unintended consequence of the new laws was a $300,000 repair to the decks and stairwells, which to the tune of $20,000 per unit owner for repairs in a given year. So time is precious. We want to thank you for yours. Munzer, we're going to hand it back to you.
Thank you, guys. That is very, very informative information, and I thank you again for that. So a couple things here. If we can go to the next slide, please, Dan. There you go. Okay, so some of you might have some questions about, how to set up a self-directed IRA and so on and so forth. Real quick, it's really three easy steps. First step is you just go online to our website, theentrustgroup.com, and it takes you minutes to get the account set up. Second step is you're looking to fund your account one of three ways. You either fund it from transferring funds from a current IRA, or doing a rollover from a previous 401k plan, profit sharing plan, what have you, or just setting up a new IRA with doing your annual contribution, which ironically, we just finished that yesterday, I believe, last day to file taxes. This whole process typically takes about 7 to 10 days. Third step and final step would be to direct us, the passive custodian, to make your investment, purchase your asset for you, because keep in mind, the Entrust Group, we don't sell any products and we don't give any sort of advice, investment advice, or any sort of advice. We're just merely order takers. So we will take your order to purchase the asset, and that typically takes about a day or two. So the whole process, we always say from A to Z, is about 10 to 14 days from the time you open the account to the time we fund your investment. Very simple. So what's next? We'll be sending you out replay and additional resources. There'll be a follow-up email from our marketing department, which includes our video replay, the slides, and more education, just in case you want to recap, or also some of you that have registered and were not able to attend. Speaking of registering, love to have you register for our upcoming May's webinar, the five golden rules for purchasing for precious metals investing in IRAs, which is becoming very, very popular these days and times. So hope to see you there. And for more information on self-directed IRAs, please visit our website, theentrustgroup.com, the Learning Center. There's a lot of information, wealth of information there, or feel free to call our offices as well. Follow us on the social media for updates. We're always have more information for you on that as well. Okay, so we're going to open it up for some Q&A here for some questions. I believe there are a couple. And as we do that, Dan, let's have our last slide out there, please, which there you go, has our information. If you have any questions about self-directed retirement plans, that's my information. Feel free to email me. Feel free to call me directly. I'm happy to assist you. Or any information about HOAs or the Ruthian Fund, please reach out to Kim, Dan, and John, and Amber for that information. All right. So let's see. I think we have some questions here. Can you also take a look at the questions, Dan, or should I read them out?
Go ahead and read them out because I'm not sure where should I pull them up from.
Got it. I got them. I got them.
Okay.
So we have a question here from Glenn Anderson. Question is, can we purchase HOA liens as an investment strategy? If so, how do we contact the HOA and approach them for what might be confidential information? How could this work?
Actually, we've never heard of anybody purchasing a lien on an HOA, to tell you the truth. So, Kim or John, if you have any input, go ahead.
I can't comment on that. I haven't. Are you talking about HOA liens on a specific unit? I think, I'm not sure how that would work. You would have to get in touch directly with an HOA, president, property manager in order to discuss that.
Great.
I would
Okay.
assure that there's legalities around that, and we can't comment on anything legal or accounting.
Yeah, it sounds like more of an attorney question, in my
Yeah.
opinion. But yeah, Glenn, go ahead. Thank you anyway for your question. Dennis, we have a question from Dennis. How do you address loss of ability to get insurance in the future as environmental risks increase?
Kim, you want to do that one?
Well, there it's I haven't come across anything that you aren't able to get in the state of California that you're not able to get insurance, and I haven't seen it anywhere else. California has the FAIR plan, and other states have plans like that too. So I guess the insurance issue is an issue across the country. Unfortunately, I don't have any answers for that. Sorry.
I will add that some of your insurance agents can go outside of the area, and there's a term for it, and I can't remember what it is. But rather than a California-only insurance carrier, they can find somebody out of state, and we're finding that that occurs, but it's very expensive.
And I would recommend that you go to the state you're purchasing the property in to the Department of Insurance, the commissioner's website, and they should have on there a list of a huge list of people who you may not have heard of, a lot of small companies that are still in the game.
Okay, great. Herman has a question. Dan, you mentioned that the reserve should be funded at 70%. May I ask if it's 70% of what metric? 70% of your really yearly expenditure, sorry.
Now this is my understanding because I don't do the financial reserves. That takes a special qualification. But my understanding of 70% is how much money do you need today for your reserves and how much of it do you have now? So let's say in 2030 you're predict you You need a reserve of, let's say, $100,000, and you have $70,000 of that 100. You would be 70%. Those numbers would be different if you were looking at, say, 2028 or 2040 or whatever. But it's looking at what you have available today, for based on your projections of needing the money.
Okay. Paul, I had the same question, so I'll pass on that one. Eric, 70%, I think that's a statement he's saying, or, but
Munzer,
yes.
I might add to that because,
yes.
So it's every lender is looking at different things, okay? And it's the total package, but a lender, the more funded, obviously the best is 100% funded for your reserve studies, which is your over 30 year or up to 30 year repairs, the better you're going to be. If you're, we've seen condo complexes or just complexes that are only at 9%, they're not fundable. There's no lender. It's going to be a cash-based transaction. So really, it's a conversation with your lender to see what they're willing to do and if they can outsource it.
Right. Thank you, Kim. So Eric, I think, has a statement. I don't think it's a question, but I'll read it out. 70% funding is ideal, but not typical of many of the common interest developments out there. California doesn't have a funding requirement, just a requirement to have a reserve study performed.
Well, that's essentially true. You are required to do the reserve study every 3 years and update it every year. It were the requirement for 70%, that's an industry standard, and also that's a number that the lenders are looking at.
Okay. Daniel, I think, has a question for me here. When with investing via IRA, can owners become board members or officers, or are they prevented because of the trust relationship? The short answer, Daniel, is they shouldn't. We'd like to have some kind of arm's length between you and your IRA. It's got to be purely a passive investment. So if you want to err on the conservative side, the answer should be, you should not be a board member or an officer. Have we seen it? Yes, but in my opinion, it should not be. Eric also, I think, has another, I don't know if it's a question. He said, you can have this place in the reserve study. This legislation has been back and forth for several years. There has been adequate time for CIDs to place these inspections in the reserve studies.
I don't know that there's a comment there for us.
I think so, but maybe best for Dan to just reach out to you guys directly there if he has any questions or comments. Okay, great. From Keon, I have a question. I have a question about SEP IRA. If I am self-employed and earn $10,000 a year and the business cost is $8,000, shall I apply in certain amount based on the net income $2,000 or gross income of $10,000? So basically, in general terms, you can contribute 25% of your adjusted gross income. What that is, that's a CPA question. We always say talk to your CPA and or accountant to find out what or how much you should be contributing on that. Okay. There is a question or actually a comment. I wonder if Kim can repeat the example whereby the owner was able to negotiate directly with the HOA to get their own repair done, if I heard this correctly. In any case, this is my question, if this is ever done.
Everything is negotiable. In the case that I had presented, it wasn't just their own repairs, it was the entire complex repairs that needed to be done that the HOA was responsible for. In this case, because it was a smaller group, it was easily a negotiable item that was a win-win for all parties.
Okay, great, thanks. Kian is also asking, I shall certain percentage to my SEP IRA based on net income or gross income? It's 25% of your adjusted gross income. But again, please discuss that with your CPA. Let's see what other questions we have here. Are we able to get out of the HOA, especially on a new build home?
You have to refer to your documentation.
The CC&Rs and their bylaws will give you some guidance on that.
And if that isn't clear, then you need to seek legal counsel.
Cheryl has a question. Wouldn't you also look at the arrears or the accounts receivables?
That would accounts receivable and accounts payable would be as part of their balance sheet, and it would show up as a number. But if you wanted more detail, you would have to contact the HOA or the property management firm that does the accounting.
Okay. Stephen has a question pertaining to IRAs. Some insurance providers require the property to be in the name of a person, not the name of the custodian FBO for the benefit of. Is there a way around this? So everything that is purchased through an IRA has to be titled in the name of the custodian for the benefit of your legal name, IRA number. So for instance, with the interest group for the benefit of John Smith, IRA number 12345. There's really no other way around it. Unless you want to set up your own LLC, have the IRA purchase the membership interest in the LLC, and then put the property in the name of the LLC, then you can go around that if you will. But feel free to reach out to me directly for more information on that.
And also, we've never had, as Munzer had said at the opening, we've been doing IRA investing in real estate for over 20 years, and we've never had a problem. So you might just have to look for a different insurance company.
Same here. You're right, Kim. We've done this for, over 40 years now, and we've never had issues with that. But yeah, some insurance companies maybe try to have them call us so we can give them a better explanation of why it's titled that way. But the only way to get around it, if you will, is if you set up your own LLC. Another question is, can you lose your current loan if the insurance coverage or reserve is not fully funded?
Question for your lender.
Right.
Okay. Let's see all the other questions. Eric saying, I own an HOA management company and I also own a reserve study company. Fair Plan won't cover all of the community. I worked on the HOA insurance task force. Non-admitted carriers are accepting some policies. I think that's a comment, not a question. Okay.
Yeah, that non-admitted carriers are as far as my understanding, are the out-of-state ones that we gave made comment to earlier.
Great, great. So that would do it in terms of our questions. A lot of good questions out there. Again, very informative presentation. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Kim, John, and Amber, and the Ruthian team for this wonderful presentation. I'm sure our listeners found this to be very valuable and educational. I want to also thank you all the listeners out there for taking time out of their busy schedules to join us. And we look forward to seeing you at our upcoming webinars. Everyone have a great day. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.